الله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد إخوتي وأخواتي في الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته Inshallah, we'll be looking at Babu Taflis wal Hajr under Kitab al Bayr of the book Umdatu of the book Bulugh al Maram. What is at Taflis and what is al Hajr? If the Arabs, if they say al Filis, Al-Filth means the smallest amount of coins, so to say, that is in consideration or in comparison with gold or silver. Somebody who has gold or silver in the past, they considered such a person as somebody who has money. But the one who has filth, it's like somebody is having coins here. So such a person is considered to be a poor man. So when they say this is muflis, or the man is a muflis, it means the one who has filth, who does not have gold, does not have silver. It means the person is what? Is poor. Now somebody who has been controlling huge amount of gold and silver, or somebody who has a lot of naira, who has a lot of dollars, but now the person is now dealing with coins, it shows that the person is rich, is poor. So they call such a person a muflis. And that's why Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used this as an example when he said, "Atadruna mal muflis." He said, "Do you know who is a muflis?" The companions, they responded by saying, "Al muflis minna man la dinara lahu wa la mata'." A muflis is somebody who has no dinar, but he doesn't have what? Good coin. Wa la mata', he has no property. Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Al-muflis man ya'ti yawm al-qiyamati bi-salatin wa zakatin wa siyamin walakinnahu qad qatala hadha wa akala ma la hadha wa qadhafa hadha." He said, a muflis is the one who will come on the day of qiyamah with salah. He has a lot of nawafil in addition to his fara'ij. With zakah, he has a lot of nawafil, sadaqah, that he has done in addition to what? To his compulsory one. Wasiyamin, he has fasted the month of Ramadan. He has done a lot of voluntary fasts. Walakinnahu qad qatala hadha. But he has killed this. وَأَكَلَ مَالَ هَذَا. He has eaten up the wealth of so-and-so. وَقَذَفَ هَذَا. Likewise, he has also assassinated the character, or he has defamed so-and-so person. Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the way he's considered to be a muflis is that despite the fact that he has come up with these good deeds, he said, فَيُوْطَى هَذَا مِنْ حَسَنَاتِهِ وهذا من حسناته حتى إذا فنيت حسناته He said, this will be given from his good deeds. This will be given from his good deeds until all his good deeds are exhausted. He said, فَيُوْخَذْ مِنْ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ Then it will be taken from their evil deeds. فَيُطْرَى عَلَيْهِ Then this will be what? This will be thrown upon him. فَيُغْذَى فِي النَّارِ And it will be thrown into a fire. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from this. So such a person, if you look at him, he had good deeds before, but he has become what? A muflis. He has become a muflis. So when the Arabs say somebody is a muflis, that is somebody that you can only find coin other than gold and silver with him. And at that time, the one who had coins other than silver and gold, it's like what? He's dealing with what? The coins here. So the person is what? Is a poor person. So now when you come to al-fiqh al-islami and the Islamic jurisprudence, when they use the word iflas or muflis, it means somebody who is insolvent or somebody who is bankrupt. Maybe he has had a lot of money before, but he has so been indebted that he has lost a lot of things. So what is the Islamic ruling when somebody like this has a problem or is indebted to people and has no money? How to relate to such a person in Islam? This is the babu, that is the chapter that the author is treating with us. Then al-hajru is from hajara. In fact, we can say what? Hajar, the word hajar, stone. It's like what is blocking something. So hajara means to block something. So al-hajru means prevention or preventing a person from what? From functioning. So somebody who is bankrupt, such a person that is going to be a kind of embargo on him. There's going to be a kind of restriction on him, what he can buy and what he cannot buy. So there's going to be a ban that people should not do business with so and so person. So this is what al-hajr. And this will have to involve the ruler for it to be effective. For it to be effective. So this will involve the ruler because this needs what? Power of implementation. An Abi Bakr bin Abd al-Rahman an Abi Urayrata radiallahu anhu qal Samina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yaqul Man adraka malahu bi'aynihi inda rajulin qad aflas fahuwa haqqu bihi min ghayri Abu Urayra May Allah be pleased with him, said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Man adraka malahu bi'aynihi. Whoever finds his man, that is a property, his commodity, what he has sold to somebody, his commodity or his property is wealth. If he finds it with somebody, bi'aynihi, that is not the word of somebody else, his own word. Maybe he sold something to a person on credit. Then the person goes bankrupt. He can't pay. And the person is indebted to a lot of people, Islamically. How are we to relate with this person? What you look is that what you have sold to that person, if what you have sold to that person is still with him, he has not made use of it, and the person has not given you part payment, and the person is still alive. Because at times, you sell something to a person, and the person is no more alive, but he hasn't paid, he's owing you. So the condition is that the person must be alive, and the person should be owing you complete, that is full. It's not that he has made your part payment. So, Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man adraka malahu bi'ayni," whoever finds his wealth with a person, "inda rajulin qad aflasa," with a person who has gone bankrupt, "fahuwa ahaqqu bihi min ghayri," he is more entitled to that property than any other person that the person is indebted to. Take for instance, I sell a car to a person, and that person goes bankrupt. He hasn't paid me anything from the price of the car. And he's also indebted to other people, not only me. And the person is still alive. The person is what? Is still alive. We have to say this because there are some other ahadith that also take care of these conditions. Now, when the person goes bankrupt, I have to take my own pride, so to say. Unless if I decide to overlook. But if I'm not decided to overlook that, I want to take it. So the first thing is for me to attack him, that the person has not paid me part payment. Secondly, that I can still see the item that I sold to him. So if I find the item that I sold to him with him, and he hasn't paid me any amount of this item, and he's still alive. Islamically, if other creditors are around, they should give me the privilege of taking that commodity that I've sold to him. That is Islamically. So if a Muslim is aware of this, and he does not respect this law, it means he's going against the law of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَلْيَحْذَرِ الَّذِينَ يُخَالِفُونَ عَنْ أَمْرِهِ أَنْ تُصِيبَهُمْ فِتْنَةٌ أَوْ يُصِيبَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. Those who go against the command of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they should be careful, they should beware, and تُصِيبَهُمْ فِتْنَةٌ, so that fitna will not engulf them, أَوْ يُصِيبَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ, or they will not be engulfed by painful chastisement. So we are Muslims. One of our brothers, for instance, is indebted, he becomes a muflis. How do we relate with such a person? He's owing you, he's owing other people. What should be your own attitude? What should be your attitude is what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said. Can you find the item that you sold to him with him? If yes, is the person still alive or is no more alive? The property that he has, that you sold to him, is now in the possession of his heirs. If he's still alive, has he paid you past payments? If no, so you are given the permission to take the property, and he has no right to resist. If he does that and you take it to the Sharia court, the judgment will be given in your favor. Because Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has concluded this, "Man adraka ma lahu bi ayni," whoever finds his property, his wealth, that he has sold to somebody, عند رجل with a man قد أفلس فهو أحق به من غيره, he is more rightful to that property than any other person among the creditors. that is among those that the person is owing. To now talk of the children, to say, okay, we want to inherit it because our father has bought it. Yeah, your father has bought it, but your father is indebted. And your father has not paid this man any part payment. And your father is still alive. So let your father conclude the issue. This is not what you should assist your father on. But if the man is dead, it's no longer permissible for the seller to say he wants to take what? To say he wants to take the property. Because the man that he sold that property to is no more alive. And the next thing we know is what? That the children want to inherit the property. What is left is now what? The property of the children. Correct? The man has bought it from you. It's owing you. So it's property originally because he has bought it and he has taken the possession. But Sharia gives you the allowance that you can take that property back on condition that what? He has not made part payment on condition that what? He's still alive. So if the man is no more alive, then that right is withdrawn back. Because originally, that thing is the property of the man. Only that what is owing you. Now, when the man is no more alive, the children are to take care, are to take what? Possession of that property. But we know, when the children are taking possession of the property, before they distribute or they share the property, it means that the wasiyatin yusabi al-dayni. Before the children of the disease say they want to inherit their father. Yes, they are to inherit the father. They have to take possession of the bequest. But before they do that, they have to make inquiry. Is our father indebted? Is our mother indebted? If yes, they have to take care of the debt. If they do not do that, they are in trouble before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Nafsul mari'i mu'allaqatun bidaynihi hatta yuqda 'anhu." That is, the soul of the man is tied to his watch, to his debt. Hatta yuqda 'anhu, until that debt is paid on his behalf. So they don't want to put their father in problem. And we know Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would not pray, observe prayer on the one who was indebted. He would not observe prayer on the one who was indebted at the early stage of what? Of Islam. But later, if you got to know that a Muslim was indebted, Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would pay on his behalf. And that was why when Jibril came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he was asking him concerning the one who fights, or sorry, the man was asking the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam concerning the one who fights tirelessly in the battlefield until he's killed. Is anything going to prevent him from entering Al-Jannah? The Messenger of Allah said no. So Jibril came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to tell him, yes, it's correct. Illa dayn, except if the person is indebted. And that's why, brothers and sisters, the issue of debt, we should not take it with levity. Remember what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man akhadha amwala an-nas yuridu adaa'aha adda Allahu anhu." Whoever takes money from the people as a loan, for instance, or maybe they invite the person to business, take money from people, yuridu adaa'aha, he has good intention of returning it, not to eat up the wealth of the people. Adda Allahu anhu, Allah assist him in what? In pain. ومن أخذها يريد إتلافها. Whoever takes it with the intention of spoiling the wealth of the people, أتلافه الله, Allah will also spoil such a person. Allah will destroy him. And that's why we are engaging in any business with anybody, or you want to get loan from people, let every one of us have good intention. Because if you do not manage the loan that you are getting well, you are likely to destroy the one who has lent you that money. You are likely to affect that person. And a Muslim should love for his brother what he loves for himself. Since he will not like to be destroyed, he should not put his brother in a situation that his brother will be destroyed. So this is very important. Now, the shy idea is that if the man is dead and is indebted to somebody, what he has left behind, what he has bought from somebody, that person cannot come and say, I want to take it back. I want to take it back because your father has not paid me. Because the man is dead. So he can't come and afford to claim that thing, despite the fact that the man has not paid. So it is the children that will take care of that. So but the man will say, your father is what? Is owing me. Then the children will know how to settle that. Don't forget, we say what? Another condition is that the man must be owing the full payment, the full price of that thing. If you have paid part, even if the man is alive, you can't take what? You can't take the property. You can't take what? The property. That is when the man goes bankrupt. But if the man is owing the full price and the man goes bankrupt, you are free to take what? You are free to take the commodity that is sold to him. And this is what the hadith is what is addressing. Man adraka malahu bi'aynihi, whoever finds his worth bi'aynihi, that is the very worth or the very item that he has sold, and the rajulin qad aflasa, with a man who has gone bankrupt, فَهُوَ أَحَقُّ بِهِ مِنْ غَيْرِهِ, he is more rightful to take possession of that thing than any other creditor. وَرَوَاهُ أَبُو دَاوُودُ وَمَالِكُ مِنْ رِوَايَةِ أَبِي بَكْرٍ مِنْ عَبْدُ الرَّحْمَنِ مُرْسَلًا بِلَفْظٍ. He said, Abu Dawood and Imam Malik, both of them, they reported it from the report of Abu Bakr ibn Abdul Rahman, Mursalan as Mursal. Hadith Mursal is the hadith that watch. We are not sure the person who has been dropped is a companion or a tabi'i. If you are sure that the one who has been dropped from the chain of the hadith is a companion, then the hadith is what? It's sahih. Because as sahaba kullu mu'dud, the companions, they are all what? Udul. They are reliable people. But when you are not sure, the one who has been dropped, is he a tabi'i or a companion? In that case, you say what? This hadith is what? Mursal. And the hadith that is mursal is hadithun da'if. It's hadith that is there. Unless if there are other chains that corroborate the message of that hadith da'if. And that's why Sheikh al-Albani rahimahullah ta'ala authenticated this hadith with the other sheens of the hadith, with the other sheens, same similar thing of this hadith. And this hadith mursal says, Ayyuma rajulin ba'a mata'an, any man who sells an item, mata', an item, fa'aflata alladhi ta'ahu, the one who purchased that item from him now goes bankrupt. وَلَمْ يَقْدِ الَّذِي بَعَهُ مِنْ ثَمَنِهِ شَيْئًا, the one, وَلَمْ يَقْدِ الَّذِي بَعَهُ, the one who goes bankrupt, الَّذِي بْتَعَهُ, the one who bought it, لَمْ يَقْدِ, did not pay, الَّذِي بَعَهُ, The one who sells it to him or the one who sold it to him. Min samanihi shay'an. From the price of the commodity, he has not paid him anything. فَوَجَدَ مَتَاعَهُ بِعَيْنِهِ. He now finds that particular property or item, بِعَيْنِهِ, that is that particular item, فَهُوَ حَقُّ بِهِ, he is more rightful to it. Is that clear? He is more rightful to it. That is, the man has not paid him anything. We have al-bayu and we have what? Al-mubta'. Al-mubta' is al-mushtari, the buyer. Al-bayu is the seller. So when the seller sold it to the buyer did not pay him anything. And he had taken possession of that item. So Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَهُوَ حَقُّ بِهِ, is more rightful to that thing. That is when a man goes bankrupt. وَإِن مَاتَ الْمُشْتَرِي فَصَاحِبُ الْمَتَاعِ أُسْوَةُ الْغُرَمَاءِ. وَإِن مَاتَ الْمُشْتَرِي, if the buyer, المشتري, المبتاع, both of them are what? The buyer, they mean the buyer. وَإِن مَاتَ الْمُشْتَرِي, if the buyer dies, the buyer dies. We know the buyer is owing the seller. فَصَاحِبُ الْمَتَاعِ, the owner of the item, أُسْوَةُ الْغُرَمَاءِ, أُسْوَةُ الْغُرَمَاءِ, is equal to the creditors. It's equal to the creditors. Is that clear? So al-ghurama, the plural of gharim, uswa, that is equal. So uswatul ghurama is equal to the creditors. So what I've explained earlier, this hadith is what? Is pointing to it. Somebody who goes bankrupt and is owing us. So what we can do in a situation like this is that if we can find that particular item that we have sold to him, we can take it. But on condition that what, he has not made any part payment. If he has made any part payment, then we are what? Uswatul Ghurama. So the creditors, they all have what? Equal rights to it. That is other people that is owing. So we all have what? Equal rights. And if the man dies and is still owing us, whether he has paid us part payment or not, we are all what? We are Uswatul Ghurama. We are equal to the Ghurama. Somebody is indebted, somebody has, let's say, 1 million naira, and is owing a man 500,000 because he bought a car from him. He's owing another man 200,000, he's owing another man 500,000, he's owing another man 500,000. So his debt is about 3 million. And what he has with him is 1 million naira. What he has with him is 1 million naira. And it's indebted to the tune of 3 million naira. So he bought a car from you. The car is still there. He hasn't paid you. In the Sharia, you have the right to take your car back. None of the creditors in the Sharia have the right to challenge you that, okay, this is part of his property now, we should all sell it and what? Share the money. Why should only you and now take possession of the car? This is his car. He sold it to him and the man has not paid him anything. So the Sharia gave him the allowance of taking his car back. But if the man has given him part payment, so that means he can't take the car back in loan. So it's what? Uswatul Ghurama. So all the creditors, they will have the car sold, and what? They will share it according to what? The percentage of what is owing them, or ratio of what is owing them. But for you to say, after all, it's my car now. Yes, it's your car, but haven't he paid you part payment? He has. But this allowance is only restricted to when the man is still alive. When the man dies, so he's not the one claiming the car anymore. It is the children that are what claiming the car. So the Sharia, in that case, transfers this away from you. So you can't say you want to take the car now. So you have to join the creditors in what? In claiming this, in getting your rights. So this is called, this is known as what? Al-Ikhlas. These are things that are related to Al-Ikhlas. Somebody who is a muflis, who goes bankrupt. Then somebody who is a muflis, you know, the chapter is what? At-Taflis and what? Al-Hajr. The Sharia will lay a kind of embargo on such a person. Somebody who is indebted to a person and he has a lot of money. There is no problem with that. He has a lot of money. Maybe the time that he has promised you has not come. The Sharia has no problem with that. Take for instance, he is going to pay you in 3 years' time. But now the man has a lot of money. Your agreement is what? Is in 3 years' time. So you don't have to disturb him because the time you agreed upon has not come. But when the time you agree comes, and this man has a lot of money, so money more than the debt that is owing, such a person, is he a muflis? No, it's not a muflis. It's not bankrupt. Because he has money more than his debt. He has money more than his debt. Such a person, the ahadith that you have read, that man akhadha amwal an-nas yuridu adaa adda Allahu anhu, whoever takes the wealth of the people with the intention of paying back, or with the intention of what? Keeping their money well, adda Allahu anhu, Allah will assist him in paying back. وَمَنْ أَخَذَ يُرِيدِ إِسْلَافَهَا أَطْلَافَهُ اللَّهِ Whoever takes it with the intention of destroying their wealth, Allah will destroy such a person. So such a hadith will be applicable to him. Likewise, Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لَيُّ الْوَاجِجِ لَيُّ الْوَاجِجِ The one who has, الْوَاجِجِ, the one who has money, لَيُّ الْوَاجِجِ, that is his delay. He said what? يُحِلُّ عِرْضَهُ وَعُقُوبَتَهُ makes lawful. His delay in payment makes lawful. عِرْضَهُ is what? His honor. وَعُقُوبَتَهُ and what? Punishing him. So somebody who has and the person does not want to pay, in an Islamic society where we have an Islamic government, if the case is taken to the qadi, the one who the man is owing has the right to take it to the qadi and to speak ill of that person. That is what is irid. His irid is what? His honor is permissible. It is permissible to watch, to talk about his honor. Because he is also not respecting his honor. He's not respecting his honor. By delaying or by not willing to pay his creditor. So Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لَيُّ الْوَاجِجِ يُحِلُّ عِرْضَهُ وَعُقُوبَتَهُ وَعُقُوبَتَهُ And if he refuses to pay, they can impose a kind of punishment on him. That is, the government can do that. Because it's al-wajij. And Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, what? مَطْلُ الْغَنِيِّ ذُلْمٌ The one who is worthy, he has, and is indebted to somebody, and is delaying this thing. It's dhulm, it's injustice. May Allah save us from this. You have wealth, and you are owing somebody. Why are you not paying him? Just as you feel you need that money, that person that you are owing also needs it. Unless if you have had an agreement with him that you are going to pay him on so and so day. But for you to now delay, using delay tactics, saying, bringing excuses, this is not a zulm, it's injustice. and والظلم ظلمات يوم القيامة. And when you are unjust to people, this is what ظلمات is, darkness upon darkness on the day of Qiyamah. May Allah save us from this. So what you are saying in essence is that, having talked about somebody who is al-muflis, somebody who is bankrupt, he doesn't have. Now you are talking about somebody who has but does not want to pay. The ruling that has to do with somebody who is al-muflis, part of it is what you have watched, you have searched. Now, the one who is al-muflis, we said they can do hajru on him. Hajru, not bilha, not hajru. Hajru means what? Preventing. Why the other hajru means what? Boycott. So they can do hajru on such a person, prevent him. If what he has is more than a debt, that means he's not a muflis. That means he's not a muflis. If what he has is equal to his debt, so such a person is what? He is like a muflis. And so in such a person, you can do hajr on him by reporting his case to the authority. So that what? They will prevent him from what? Spending. They will prevent him from buying things. They will prevent him from entering into contracts with people. Because this will be worsening his situation in the community. So that what he has is equal to what? Is equal to his debts. So if he's owing more people, he's bringing more people into what? Into trouble. So such a person, if one reports his case to the authority, so they do al-hajr, and they will announce to people that so and so person avoid him. So this is not a matter of what, maybe the person is pious, or the person is, no. So, because you have to warn the people from what? Falling into errors. And if you are a brother and you are aware of this, that so-and-so person is so much indebted that what? If you also make business with him, you are going to be added to those that is indebted to. You must, adinu nasiha, you advise your brother, please don't do business with so-and-so person. Don't do business with so-and-so. Because he is also, he doesn't mind what? Bringing people into trouble. So you should watch. You should see it as a responsibility on yourself to say, is a nasiha, so-and-so person is what? Avoid doing business with him because he's owing a lot of people. This is not backbiting. And that's why scholars will say, azammu laysa bi ghibatin fi sittatin. When you speak in of somebody, it's not riba, as far as these things are concerned. Mutadallimin, the one who is wronged and is complaining, he goes to the judge, he goes to the qadi, to say, so and so person has done so and so for me. Yes, he has spoken ill of him, but that is not considered what? Riba. Because he is mutadallim, somebody who has been wronged and is complaining. Wa mu'arrifin, this has to do with the scholars of hadith and other people that what? They want to describe somebody, that so-and-so person is so-and-so. So that's what people will... One muhazirin, and the one who is warning people from somebody. Somebody has a lot of evil. You know somebody to be committing evils around. So you have to call the attention of what? Of the people to it. That is to his what? To his evil. That so-and-so person avoiding. This is not riba. It's nasiha that you ought to do to the people. Now, if what he has with him is not open enough for the debt that he is owing, so this is clear, it's a muflis. So the same thing, they will still announce to people, don't do business with so and so person. Don't sell things on credit to so and so person. This is what al-hajr. And what he has They will monitor it. They will not allow him to spend anyhow. They will look for ways of what? Of settling those that are his creditor. So this is something that is important. But now somebody, the muflis, is owing you. Like when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when a companion came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, asking about asking for support. Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because the man said he had wanted to pay debts on behalf of people. Take for example, maybe there was a calamity and this situation ought to be rescued. You know, say, okay, I will assist in looking for people who can watch, who can contribute, who can... So you now put it on upon yourself. So it is permissible for such a person to watch, to ask for donation, because he's doing it for something good. So Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "La tahillu al-mas'ala illa li ahadi salafa." Asking people for word or for money or for, it's not permissible except for one of three people. He mentioned the rajulun tahammala hamalatan faqad hallat lahu al-mas'ala at-tayyiba. Somebody who has taken upon himself to assist people who are afflicted. So it is permissible for him to watch, to ask, حَتَّى يُسِيبَهَا. وَرَجُلٌ أَصَابَتْهُ جَارِيَةٌ اشْتَاءَتْ مَالَهُ. Somebody who has also been affected by a calamity which destroyed his wealth. The person is wealthy. But Allah said, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَالنَّقْصِ مِنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنْفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. There was a jahiyah, a calamity which destroyed people. Such a person is permissible for him to watch, to ask people. Then the third person is رَجُلٌ أَصَابَتْهُ فَاقَةٌ, somebody who has been stricken by poverty. حَتَّى شَهِدَ ثَلَاثَةٌ من ذوي الحجة من قومه أنه قد أصابته فاقة. Till three people among his people, they can testify to the fact that no, this man is what? He's poor. This man is poor. The Messenger of Allah said, فَحَلَّتْ لَهُ الْمَسْأَلَةُ. It is also permissible for such a person to ask. حتى يصيب قوارا من عيش أو سدادا من عيش. Until what? He can get something to support him. Then, if you get what to support him, after that it's not permissible. Now the idea is that somebody has been affected, he has become a muflis and is indebted. What is this? What is this a sin? Somebody doing genuine business. Huh? Somebody doing what? Genuine business. But he's indebted to people. He doesn't have what to pay the people that is indebted. He doesn't have anything. His property is what? Is destroyed completely and is indebted. This is what? Qadarullah, the qadar of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How should we treat such a muflis? We have talked about a muflis that has something that what the creditors can still get. Now we have a muflis who is what? Completely bankrupt. He has nothing and is indebted to us. As Muslims, how should we relate with this, with such a person? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَإِن كَانَ ذُو عُسْرَةٍ فَنَظْرَةٌ إِلَى مَيْسَرَةٍ. وَإِن كَانَ ذُو عُسْرَةٍ فَنَظْرَةٌ إِلَى مَيْسَرَةٍ. If the one who is owing us, the person is in problem, he doesn't have, فَنَظْرَةٌ إِلَى مَيْسَرَى, give him respite till he has. This is what is composing on you. There is not anything you can do. You can't take the man and kill him. You can't take him for torture where you don't know that he has what? He has money. If you have the money, you have said that la yulwajij yuhillu irdo wa akubata. He has. But now this man doesn't have. Even he doesn't have what to prevent that the people that is owing can share. He doesn't have. So this man is penniless. So what are you going to do in a situation like this? Are you going to say what, you should punish him? If you do that, you're also doing dhulmu. So one will, what one should do at that time is what? فَنَذِرَةٌ إِلَى مَيْسَرَى. You should give him respite till what the man has. Even if you can pardon the debt, this will be what? This will be a great sadaqah. But you know you can't pardon the debt in a situation like this. فَنَذِرَةٌ إِلَى مَيْسَرَى. What is compulsory is for you to what? To give him respite. This is what is composure. We all know the case of the man that when he was about to die, that the man did not have any good deeds other than what he would give respite to those who are owing him and who overlooked the debts of some people. And because of this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted him al-Jannah. So your brother is in a problem, and you know that his debt is not that he doesn't want to pay. He wants to pay, but he has no money. And what he has with him is not, what he has with him, woman, there's nothing that he has that you can say you want to confiscate and what, to share among the creditors. So such a person, you don't hand him over to police or to what they call to maybe the military men to torture him. It is only where you know that this man has and does not want to pay. So this is where the hadith la yulwajij yuhillu irdahu wa akubata. When he doesn't have fanadratun ila maysara. So and Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he said this, or when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said this, this is what we should do. So we have to what? We have to give such a person a respite, not to punish him, as a lot of people want to do. Believe that if you torture him, the money will come out. So this is on Al-Hajj. وَرَوَاهُ أَبُو دَاوُدُ وابن ماجه من رواية عمر بن خلد قال أتينا أبا هريرة رضي الله عنه في صاحب لنا أبو داود and ابن ماجه both of them reported from the report of عمر the son of خلد. He said we came to أبو هريرة, may Allah be pleased with him, في صاحب لنا قد أفلس, in the case of a man among us who had gone back bankrupt. فقال, and he said, لا أقضين فيكم بقضاء رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Abu Dawood said, I'm going to judge between you with the judgment of the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم. من أفلس أو مات فوجد رجل متاعه بعينه فهو أحق به. Whoever goes bankrupt or he dies, then a man finds his commodity with him, فَهُوَ أَحَقُّ بِهِ, is more rightful to this. وَصُحَاهُ الْحَاكِمُ وَضَعَفَهُ أَبُو دَاوُدُ وَضَعَفَ أَيْضًا أَبِي إِزْيَادَ فِي ذِكْرِ الْمَوْتِ. He said Al-Hakim authenticated his hadith, but Abu Dawood declared to be da'if. He also declared as da'if the addition of what? Al-Mawt. Now this report, man aflasa aw mata fa wajha rajul mata'u bi ayni fa huwa haqqu bi. Man aflasa, if we are to consider this part, man aflasa fa wajha rajul mata'u bi ayni fa huwa haqqu bi. We say what? It goes with the first hadith that you have read. But the shame is what? Is da'if. According to Abu Dawood, Al-Hakim said it is sahih. But what most scholars of hadith are upon is that it is da'if, particularly the addition of what? Al-Mata. Because we have other ones that said if the man dies, so the creditor cannot come to say, okay, I've sold this thing to you, so I'm going to take it. So this will be left to the children, and the children cannot just determine like that. All the creditors will have to gather, and that thing, in addition to other property that the man has, will be uswatu al-ghurama. So they will all be equal. Huh? They will all be equal. All the creditors will be equal. All this is clear. So what you are saying, Nathan, is that this third hadith is what? Is da'if. Is da'if. One Amr ibn Shareed and Abihi radi Allahu anhu, from Amr the son of Shareed, may Allah be pleased with him, he said, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لي الواجد يحل عرضه وعقوبته. لي الواجد, delay of the man who has money to pay his debt. Delaying paying his debt, يحل عرضه, makes permissible his honor. That is, if he is molested, if he is complained about, this is what is justifiable, because he is also what? Doing zulm. Matlu al-ghani zulm, as we said. Wa uqubata, and it is, if he is punished, this is also justified. So it now depends on what the authority feels like, what punishing with, which will not go beyond the error that he has fallen in. But the bottom line is that what it is permissible to punish such a person who has and does not want to pay. Now, the case of a 419, so to say, is not what you are discussing now. You are talking about somebody who owes somebody, and he now has the money to pay, but he doesn't want to pay. Is it from somebody who is collecting money from brothers, that there is a business? I know that there is no business, but he's just collecting money from people. Such a person should be tortured by the authority. Because if this is what allowed to continue like that, it is going to be what? A calamity for the Muslims. So such a person should what? Should be brought to book. It should be cautioned from that. But we are talking about the case of somebody who entered into maybe a contract with somebody, or into a business with somebody, and bought something from somebody genuinely. But Shaitan along the line now wants to watch, to play on him. He's now postponing the payment of the debt. He doesn't want to pay, and he has. And this is clear to the authority. So, layul wajij, is the delay of the one who has the money to pay his debt. This delay, yuhillu irda wa aqubata, makes permissible his honor, and makes permissible punishing him. But as we said, in the case of somebody who doesn't have, it's not a 419er. He owes people, he doesn't have what to pay. So we said what? فَنَظَرَةٌ إِلَىٰ مَيْسَرَةٌ. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said. And this is what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. Based on some of the hadith that you have read, that a companion was afflicted by a calamity. He bought some food from some people, and these foods, they got destroyed. These crops got destroyed. Something that he never expected. He became bankrupt. Messenger of Allah said, Tasaddaqu alayhi. He commanded the Muslims, Tasaddaqu alayhi, give him sadaqah. So when they gathered the old sadaqah, it was not enough to pay the ghurama, those that he was owing. So Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Laysa lakum illa ma akhadhtum." You don't have anything apart from what you have taken from him. That is, you can't punish him. You can't, because this is what, something that is beyond his ability. So he told his burama that there is nothing for you except what you have taken of his wage. So in a situation like that, is that what people overlook it? Or what if they say, okay, we want to delay that till that is Maysara, then Nu'am. But for us to say, okay, we are going to punish him, we are going to... When you know that this man has a genuine case, this will also do what? Zulmun on your part. Now the next hadith is what we are going to take again. وعن أبي سعيد الخدري رضي الله عنه قال أصيب رجل في عهد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في ثمار بتاعها فكثر دينه. A man was affected during the time of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم في ثمار بتاعها concerning the crops that he bought. فكثر دينه, his debt became huge, فأفلس, and the man went bankrupt. فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, تصدق عليه, give صدقة to this man. فتصدق الناس عليه, people give صدقة to the man. ولم يبلغ ذلك وفاء عليه, the صدقة that they gave to the man was not enough to pay his debt. فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لغرمائه, messenger of Allah said to his غرماء, his creditors, خذوا ما وجدتم وليس لكم إلا ذلك. Take what you can find, and you have no any other thing to do except that. When Ibn Ka'b bin Malik and Abi radiallahu anhuma, from Ibn Ka'b, the son of Malik, from his father, may Allah be pleased with both of them, أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم حجر على معاذ ماله وباعه في دين كان عليه رواه الدارقطني وصححه الحاكم واخرجه ابو داود مرسلا ورجح ارسالا. نعم, it was said that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم حجر على معاذ, he prevented معاذ رضي الله عنه from what, from carrying out further transaction. We said حجر can be done even when the person is what, is pious, even when the person is what, is pious. You prevent him from what? Carrying out some transactions. Because he's indebted to people. You let people know. So once it becomes a person is pious, the evil that what? You have to call attention of people to. You don't call attention of the people to that. So it was said that Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam prevented Mu'adh radiallahu anhu from what? From carrying out further transaction. وَبَعَهُ فِي دَيْنٍ كَانَ عَلَيْهِ, and what was with him that he sold it in order to pay what? His dain, in order to pay his debt. So this confiscation of is something that is permissible. So that Abu Dawud reported this, وَرَجَّ إِرْسَالَ, and he said his word is Mursal. And we said Mursal is what? Da'if. But apart from that, there were people that Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam prevented from what? Carrying out transactions when they were indebted. And our teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam concerning how you deal or you relate with those that go bankrupt. When Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu qala, عرضت على النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عرضت على النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يوم أحد وأنا ابن 14 سنة فلم يجزني وعرضت عليه يوم الخندق وأنا ابن 15 سنة فأجازني. متفق عليه. ابن عمر رضي الله عنه said, I was shown to the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم on the day of Uhud, and I was a boy of 14. فَلَمْ يُجِزْنِي, Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم did not sanction that, that is to participate in battle. وَرِتُ عَلَيْهِ يَوْمَ الْخَنْدَقِ, I was also shown to him on the day of Khandaq. وَأَنَا ابْنُ خَمْسَ عَشْرَةَ سَنَةَ, I was a boy of 15. فَأَجَازَنِي, and he sanctioned that. Muttafaqun alayhi, this is what reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim, and it is agreed upon وفي رواية البيهقي report of Bihaqi فلم يجزني ولم يرني بلغت. He did not approve me and did not see me as somebody who has attained puberty. والصحابة ابن خزيمة authenticated this. Now inshallah we'll continue from this place some other time. But what we are trying to establish is that there is what is known as Al-Iflas and Al-Hajri. So that is bankruptcy and confiscation of the property of the one who goes bankrupt. Or the one who goes bankrupt but he has what? Something to pay his creditor. He will not be allowed to use what he has as property to use it for himself. So this will be used to settle his creditors. And if it's somebody who has what to pay, he does not want to pay, that means he's not bankrupt. So such a person is a zalim. And it is permissible to deal with such a person by speaking ill of him. That is when we say speaking ill of him, by saying things that ordinarily you don't want to hear. Somebody who is a zalim, who has wronged you, he owes you money, he doesn't want to pay. In a year that you are complaining to somebody, it's now what? He's angry. Why should he be angry? He's a zalim. So he should not be angry. So because layul wajid yuhillu irdahu wa uqubata. So this is what we want to take from the ahadith under al-buyu. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save every one of us from debt. Because debt can bring disgrace and embarrassment to somebody. As Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who seek refuge with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from what? From debt. And it was said, Ya Rasulallah, ما أكثر ما تتعوذ من المغرم. You will seek refuge with Allah from debt a lot. Said, that's true. إن العبد إذا غرم. When a servant is indebted, he said, حدث وكذب. He will be telling lies. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from this. It is difficult for you to see somebody who is indebted to a person and will not be looking for one way of what freeing himself. To say things that have not happened. And that's why one should also manage the way he interacts with people. It is difficult to do that because there is nobody except that what will be in need of loans one way or the other. But we should also manage our situation. And when we are getting loan from people, we should have the intention of what? Of paying back. So that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will also assist us from falling into whatever embarrassment that may come from that. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rectify our fears. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Subhanaka lahumma bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka. No. It's lengthy, it will be lengthy somehow. It has a connection with the following one. So, and it's almost 11. I have a program. No.
Next question. The question about buying and selling from the buyer. What about the relation between a landlord and a tenant? He has paid part of rent, but he has not put down time.
نعم الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وبعد. نعم somebody who is owing you and the person is not a bankrupt, the person has the money to pay, he doesn't want to pay. So in a situation like this, you can get your money back buy your item back if the person is not going to pay. Maybe you give him what he has given to you. So, but there should be justice in doing that. There should be justice in doing that. So what you have discussed, the hadith, has talked about al-muflis, and the one who has the money to pay, he doesn't want to pay. So such a person, we can take a kind of legal action against him, and will be forced, compelled to pay. But if the person insists, he doesn't want to pay, the authority, they will force him by taking that same commodity from him and what? Maybe selling it and paying you if what is left will be enough. That is, if sold, the money realized from it will be enough to pay your debt. Is it clear? But in the case that we have Burama, we have creditors, a lot of people that the man is owing, so it will be difficult to treat you in that way. Except if the man has not paid you any part of the money, or the man is still what? Is still alive. But if the man is no more alive, or he has paid you part of the money, it will be uswatu al-burama. Wallahu a'lam. He wants to pay. And that if he wants to pay a loan, now I'm indebted to so and so person, maybe about 3 persons. So if I want to pay 1 person, this can be done if the authority has not intervened in the matter. But if the authority has intervened in the matter and the person is what? Hajru has been done upon him. So this won't go. Allahu Akbar. Okay. Now. And that's what we are saying. I've answered the question. It's permissible if the man is not paying. So when he chases him out, so if the man has used some of the, maybe he has paid maybe 5 months for instance now, and he collected a year rent from him, and he has what? He has used 5 months, or the man has used a year, but he has only paid what? 5 months. So if, or let the man to be accurate, maybe the man has he gives in the house to for rent. So the man has paid part, so that is the ones that he hasn't paid. So in a situation that he feels like what, ejecting him out, he can eject him on condition that what he is what just to him. That is, what is going to take out of the money, for instance, should be equal to what he has used. So he won't say, okay, maybe he has paid for a year, for instance, now, and the man has what? Only used maybe 6 months. Do not say he's not going to, he's chasing him out because he hasn't paid the remaining year. Maybe it's 2 years he agreed upon, for instance. But the man brought a year, and they say, okay, you have to pay the remaining 1 year between within so and so much. So he didn't come up with that. And I said, okay, our agreement is that you must pay within so and so months. So since you haven't paid, so I'm chasing you out. And what you have paid before, so this will be what, a kind of zulmu on his part. So he should manage it in such a way that what is taken from the man will not be more than what the man has used. So because of the way it is in our country, it is difficult to give good example on the matter now. Now, if they have the agreement of a year and he has paid for that year, and he willingly, the tenant now, willingly is moving out of the house. It's not the landlord that has chased him out of the house. He's willingly moving out of the house. So it is not binding on the landlord to refund him, because the agreement is at what? It's 1 year. The man has paid. So, but just as it's not binding on the landlord to refund him, it is also not binding on the man, or it's not haram on the man to bring somebody else to live in that house. There is subletting. You say subletting. So whether subletting or not, the issue is that what, there is zulmu in that agreement. He has gotten the use of a particular place from you, and he has paid for it. So he has the right to use it. So when you now say there is no subletting, if you are looking at it from the fact that it's going to make profit out of it, that's why you say you are, there is no subletting, then that shouldn't be your affair. The most important thing is that what you want, you have gotten it. And if the person is almost subletting it, it's not going to claim the ownership of the house. So he has a right to use it. He has the right to use it. So when he's moving out, he has the right to also watch, bring somebody else to conclude the remaining months. So if you say you don't accept this, then there should be a refund of his balance. Simple thing. It's compulsory. It becomes compulsory that you refund his balance, since you are not allowing him to watch, to make use of it. Now, there are conditions attached to that. On condition that the person that you are bringing in to stay there must not be worse than yourself. No, must not be worse. If it's better than you, it's benefit for the landlord. But must not be worse than you. So if the landlord can tolerate you as bad as you are, you should be able to tolerate that person that is as bad as what you, so there is no problem there. But if the person is worse, then in that case, the landlord has the right to watch to complain, because he's dealing with somebody that is worse now. So this condition is attached to that.
How do you define the worse in that part? Okay, for instance, the landlord, because the investment is coming, that's the way are you working. Maybe you work in Chevron, get about it, and you pay the rent. Well, at the end of the day, when you are problematic, you are bringing a young guy to that. So, can you wait that, okay, this, when you came to me, you are in work with everyone. Now you are bringing somebody that is a young boy to see my son like this. In that way, I'm not going to allow, and I'm not going to
call it. It's worse now. It's worse, so the issue is clear there. Since you know that he's bringing in a Yahoo. You are saying the same thing. What you are... No, it's clear now. So somebody is working in Chevron, and you are bringing somebody who is what? So you have the fear that this person, it is clear, that this person will not be able to take care of the house the way you are taking. So that person is worse. Leave that agreement. You are talking about agreement that is what? That is based on what? Zulm. Now I want to rent an accommodation, for instance, now, and they are telling me that I should pay for one agreement. And when I'm moving out of that place, You are not returning that agreement. You say the purpose of that agreement is that if anything is destroyed in the house, they will use it to watch. So I don't destroy anything. Why are you not refunding me? You say that is what? Caution fee. What is caution fee? Let us explain it.
The effect of agreement is that you are given by you and the landlord that will be documented by a lawyer. So the fee you are paying is collected by a lawyer. But when you have to pay the caution fee,
are you sure?
The caution fee is here.
Yes.
Not everybody does that. You are talking about what some people do in you are talking about what people do in Ikoyi and the like. When people No, I'm talking about what I see. The landlord here is collecting agreement from us. Around collecting agreement. And no any lawyer involved in this matter. Don't wait. Don't defend that of the quack. So that of the quack is what? It's 40. Now if you go to that of the professional, what the landlord, is the lawyer taking that amount as well? Or the landlord is going to take out of it? So if it is said a landlord take part of it, it is zulm. You are explaining another one. You say what? Now what is caution fee?
The effect of the caution fee is that the victims in the house now, when I'm giving you the caution. So you are paying a responsible caution fee that anytime you are moving out of the property, if anything falls fall in the house, I'm going to use that money to repair those things.
Did they? Do they refund the 20%? So those who do not do what they are eating is what is zulm. Now. Insisted. Now there is a question. Somebody was sick and one of his children got loan or borrowed money from a cooperative society. So but the man eventually died. And this person who was said to have borrowed money from the cooperative society denied having borrowed money from the cooperative society. So the other children of the deceased, so they said, okay, they wanted to pay, they paid half of the money. So what is the Islamic ruling on this? When the cooperative society should bring evidence that money is borrowed from them. So because the one who is claiming anything should bring what? Al-Bayyina. The one who is claiming anything. So if they cannot or they cannot bring any evidence for that, so they paid for their foolishness. So, and there is no way you can watch, you can judge this in this world. So this will be left for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to judge on the day of Qiyamah. No. Okay, I've not finished this. So then those who, among the children, those who believe they should pay. So there is no harm if they pay. But in a situation like that, let's say it is agreed that the children of them agreed that they borrowed money in order to treat their father. So, and the father eventually died. So this can be taken from the property of the father in order to, because it's like a debt which they use in treating the father. So this can be taken from the property of the father. And if the children believe or they prefer that they want to source for it in another way, no harm. If this is based on their agreement as old, wallahu a'lam. We are saying the same thing, that it is not established. The cooperative society cannot bring any evidence that the loan... Then in that case, if there is evidence for that, that there is money taken from them, so and they are not, they were not aware that the man who is not denying, they were not aware that he got loan. Then in that case, it is between the cooperative society and that man. But if they are aware that he got the loan in order to treat their father, then this will be taken from the property of the father. So, Allahu Akbar. It's lesser. That is the pay instantly. Nam, alhamdulillah, salatu wassalam ala rasulullah. But now this first question has to do with bil al-ajal. It has to do with bil al-ajal. What is bil al-ajal? That is, if you are not paying instantly, and they are going to increase the price of the commodity, is it permissible? It has been said several times here that majority of the scholars said it is permissible. However, some scholars of the opinion that this is not permissible, like Sheikh Al-Albani rahimahullah ta'ala, and those who take his position. The area where they disagree is that the Shaykh rahimahullah ta'ala said the hadith man ba'a bi'atin fi bi'atin falaw awkasu uma aw riba. Whoever concludes two transactions in one, falaw awkasu uma, you should take the lesser aw riba, or take riba. So if a commodity, you are putting two prices on the commodity, is bi'atani fi bi'atin, two prices on the commodity. If you are paying now, 20,000. If you are paying in installment or you are paying later, let us leave the issue of installment. If you are paying later, you are going to pay 25,000. So the Sheikh said, the hadith, whoever sells two transactions in one, falau awkasu uma. He said, so this person has concluded two transactions in one by saying, if you are paying now, 20,000. If you are paying later, 25,000. He has concluded two transactions in one. Falau awkasu uma, what he can do is for him to take what? The less aw riba. Or it should be bold enough to take what? Riba. Which is what? Haram. But majority of them said the meaning of this hadith has nothing to do with this type of transaction. It has to do with bay'ul ina and things like that. What is bay'ul ina? Bay'ul ina is the thought, I need cash. So I now come to my brother who I know is selling, let's say for instance, handset. When I come to him, I said, okay, I want to buy this handset from you on credit. So he says, okay, I'm going to sell it to you 20,000 naira. You know, I need cash. So he gave me the handset on credit. I'm owing him now. I now say to him, I want to sell this handset back to you, cash. Even if it is 12,000 naira. He now say, okay, I'll buy it. He now gives me 12,000 naira cash. You know, I'm owing him how much? 20,000. So what I've concluded in doing is that what I've taken 12,000 to pay 20,000 naira. So he has concluded two transactions on that same watch commodity. The first one is what? He sold that same commodity to me as what? 20,000 naira, and he bought it back for what? 20,000 naira on credit. He sold it to me. Then he bought it from me, 12,000 naira cash. So what we have succeeded in doing is what? We have succeeded in doing what? 12,000 pay 20,000 naira. So this is what? So if I want to pay, I still have what? I have the time to repent. Falau awkasuhuma aw riba. You see that the buyer, sorry, the seller, takes 12,000. That my brother, let us forget those rubbish that we have done. Give him my 12,000 that I gave you back. So he has done what? The outcast of the two prizes, the lesser of the two prizes, our river. If he goes ahead to take the 20,000 naira, he has taken what? River. So this is the explanation that the scholars give to this. So not the way the Sheikh rahimahullah ta'ala has explained. And this appears to be the stronger opinion. Wallahu a'lam. Now, if our company, they are given how much? Okay. That is riba. That is riba. It's clear. If the person doesn't fall sick, it is shared between the insurance company and the hospital. So this is what? This is riba. But let's say the company. Now, if it is imposed on him, it's just like the government imposing on you to insure your cars and things like that. So, ad-darurat tubihul ma'adurat. So now, when you collect the money, that is, now it's imposed, insurance is imposed on you. Now you are paying your premiums. Not free of charge. that is what I'm trying to say. That now it's imposed on you. You will not do it willingly. It's imposed on you. The government imposes it on you, or your company imposes it on you. Now you are forced to do it. You are not doing it. What if the benefit comes? Can you benefit it? Now you've been paying premiums. You've been paying premiums because you are forced. Now if there is benefit, if that there is something that's going to favor you, can you benefit this? Now scholars disagree on this. They said since you have been forced to do it, so if there is any benefit, you should also enjoy it, because you don't do this thing willingly, they impose it. Some said you shouldn't take it, that you should. So Allahu A'lam, if one can avoid it, that is better. But if there is no way of avoidance, then Allahu A'lam, one can still take that. Allahu A'lam. That is exactly what is taken from me. That's what I was saying. But now that 8,000 now, if nothing happens to you, goes away like that. So now money will be going away from you like that. And when there is benefit, When the benefit comes, they say you shouldn't watch. You shouldn't take it. So some scholars are looking at it from, since you've been forced to do it, not that you did it willingly, you should also, but it's better to avoid it. So that you just take what belongs to you and what does not belong to you. Then when they say, okay, maybe there is something that happens to you, what you've been paying, they say, what? You leave it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to judge it. This is still an insurance policy. It's simple. It's haram. That the jinn, the question is, if a jinn tells the person that is doing rukia, for a woman, that the woman should use niqab, and she uses niqab because of that, then that same jinn now tells the person doing the rukia again that he should marry that woman. Started processing.
When they are doing here, you now say, I've told her not to smoke make again. I told her, why did you open your face? I said, it's not. I said, what? And I was first dying. That's why I entered. So I'll see the person now.
Well, the bottom line is that we should follow the guidance of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will not interact with the jinns that possess people during his lifetime by discussing with them, because the jinns, they are liars. As the Prophet Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told Abu Huraira, "Sadaqaka wa huwa kadhub." He told you the truth, but he's a great liar. So any person who is doing rukia for people and he believes in what engaging in discussion with the jinn, such a person is at the is at the brim of what, of destroying himself, because a lot of evil will come in. Now, when the jinn tells the person who is doing rukia to a woman that he should tell the woman to cover her face, this is something that is good. We don't need the order of the jinn that a woman watch. It's good for a woman to cover her face. There is consensus on this. So some said it's what is compulsory. Now a woman is before a known mahram. and the non-mahram is placing his hand on this woman. So there is no how. Fitna is not going to happen except with fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Doctors can talk about this. A lot of doctors have committed a lot of what? Evils, as a lot of what? Seeing the aura of a woman. So when somebody is not saying he's doing ruqya, if we place him in the position of a doctor, which is not, they are not the same, because there are various ways of doing this. Unlike doctor, the doctor will have to watch, touch the woman to do. But somebody is doing ruqya, there is no text that says it's compulsory that they touch. So, but the jinn has recommended to a lot of them that they should be touching the one that ruqya has been done for. So some of them, the jinn will tell them that watch, place your hand on her breast, and they will do. No, this is not something of joke. So all these are things that scholars have talked about. So the jinn will continue to push them to areas of what? Of ma'asi. At times we order them to do something of what? Shirk. To the extent that some of the rukat, those who are doing rukia, some of them have become messengers of this of the jinn. Now most of the things that Islam is against, the jinn are now instructing them to do this. So the issue of covering the face, that there is nothing wrong with that. But the issue of what? Marry the woman. So the jinn has no right to tell you to marry a woman. So he's not a prophet of Allah, nor is he your Wali al-Amr that will say, okay, he's instructing you to do something. So this is one of the wasawis of shaitan, and one of the makaij, the tricks of shaitan in misleading the ruqat. So may Allah save us from the fitna, wallahu a'lam. Yes. But what we took today has to do with when we have a lot of creditors, not one person. If it is one person, so nobody is fighting with you over the property. The person is indebted, they can't pay you. So, and you see that maybe he doesn't want to pay. It's not that he's bankrupt. So he doesn't want to pay. In a situation like that, you can take his property. Even if he wants to pay, and the rule, you cannot bear it anymore. So the ruler can impose on such a person to sell his property in order to watch, in order to pay. Since he has what will be enough to take care of the debt. But when the creditors are many, so for you to not say want to take the property that is sold to that person, there are conditions. The first one is that the person should not have paid you any part of the money. If he has paid you any part of the money, then you are equal to other creditors. Then the person must still be alive. If the person is dead, you are equal to other creditors than the man. But if you are the only one, so and the person cannot pay, but he has something that can be confiscated and sold, and they pay you from it, then there is nothing wrong in that. If it is sold, and what has been realized from it is enough to settle the debt, then, alhamdulillah. If it is not enough, that means he owing you. Allahu a'lam. I don't know. Is it Islamic for a woman to assist the man in paying some of the things needed, paying for some of the things needed at home? It's sadaqah, but there's nothing wrong in it. But it's not a duty. It is the duty of the man to take care of the family. So the woman, when they make money, the money they make is their possession. So Allah has not imposed on them that they have to take care of the family. It is only when the man does not have enough to take care of the family, then for the children not to go hungry and for things not to go bad, then in that case it may be compulsory on him, or sorry, on her to take care. Not only her, in fact it may be compulsory on the Muslims generally to assist the person that cannot get what to eat. It becomes the responsibility of the Muslims. So if it is the responsibility of the old Muslims, what are we going to say about the one that they are sleeping and waking? So it becomes compulsory on her. But when the man is okay and the man has the ability to do, then it is not compulsory on her to do that. But if she feels like assisting in some things with the intention of getting reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so this is sadaqah. And this is what the wife of Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, what she would do. So she will give sadaqah to the husband. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said what? It is sadaqah and what? Sila. This is connecting the family ties. At the same time, it is also sadaqah. So it's best, or is a best. It's better than giving to people outside. When you see that those who are at home, they're in need of your sadaqah, so it's better you give to them than taking it outside. Wallahu alam. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.